This episode is based on a chapter from Laws of Life, Book 2. Now, Build a System for Your Life by Jack Spurko.
Yes, and specifically, we're diving into Chapter 10. Being prepared isn't radical, it's responsible.
Exactly. And just to set the stage for you listening, my background is actually as a practical preparedness educator. Mm-hmm. So my entire professional focus is helping families build resilience, but doing it without, you know, fear, paranoia, or any of that doomsday thinking.
Right, which pairs perfectly with what I do. I'm a risk management and lifestyle systems coach. So I work with professionals, parents, entrepreneurs, basically helping them identify and remove fragile points from their daily lives.
Which is why we are so excited for this deep dive. Our mission today is to unpack this core law from the chapter. It argues that preparedness is not radical. It's not paranoid. It's simply responsible design executed before consequences force you to act.
Yeah, before the chaos hits. Because a good life basically requires redundancy. If you build a system, any system, with zero redundancies, you are designing it to fail catastrophically.
Totally. Think about Sam Walton's quote from the text. Expect the best. Prepare for the worst. Capitalize on what comes.
Or Ben Franklin's, right? By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail.
It's foundational engineering. But to really get why Jack Spurko champions this, we have to look at his background. Because it completely breaks the stereotype.
Oh man, it really does. I mean, we aren't talking about some guy who's just been sitting in a bunker his whole life. Jack started out as a teenager scrubbing the kill floor of a turkey farm until like 11 at night.
Yeah, grueling work. And then by 17, he's an Army HIPAA TT mechanic.
Right. And for those who don't know, those are massive tactical vehicles. We're talking 109-ton trucks where a single tire weighs 600 pounds.
Huge. And after that, he walks the Appalachian Trail. He bounces at clubs, busts tires. And then, this is the wild part, he pivots to become an AI and telecom C-level executive before he even turns 36.
Which is such a massive spectrum of experience, from physical, manual labor to high-stakes corporate boardrooms. But the real turning point for him happened in 2008, right? Exactly. So in 2008, he's a partner in successful companies, making great money, but he is completely miserable.
Right.
And then he watches the speech by Gary Vaynerchuk, a 2008 Web 2.0 speech. And Gary says something like, you know, there's no reason to do things you hate because you can lose just as much money being happy as hell.
Wow. And that clicked for him.
It completely rewired him. The chapter describes this super cinematic moment where Jack is driving in his car to get lunch, and suddenly he realizes he's been driving toward his house for 15 minutes.
He was literally subconsciously walking away from his corporate life.
Yes. But, and this is key, he doesn't just abandon ship. He realizes he has a responsibility to his employees, right? To make sure payroll clears.
Responsible design.
Exactly. So he turns the car around, goes back to the office, and actually does his job better than ever for the next 15 months. But mentally, he checked out that day. That's when he started building the Survival Podcast.
Which leads to my favorite irony in this whole chapter. Jack was a former marketing agency president. He knows the cardinal rule of branding is to keep it to like three words, just do it.
Right, keep it punchy.
But for his brand, he uses this incredibly long, comma-spliced 15-word slogan. Helping you live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't.
So clunky.
Right. Why would a marketing pro intentionally sabotage his brand with a sentence that long?
Well, it looks like sabotage until you realize what he's trying to avoid. He's building a massive wall between his brand and what he calls prepper porn.
Oh, like the fear-based marketing.
Exactly. The preparedness industry is full of people pushing pump-and-dump precious metals or selling these Teotihuacan, the end of the world as we know it, bunkers to terrified people.
Right, just preying on anxiety.
Jack wanted to distance himself from that entirely. The slogan filters out the fear and focuses on modern survivalism. It's lifestyle design. Preparedness should benefit you and improve your daily life, even if nothing ever goes wrong.
That makes so much sense. So if prepper porn is one extreme, the other extreme is this modern YOLO mindset, right? You only live once, where being completely unprepared is almost worn like a badge of honor.
Yeah, people treat a lack of redundancy as a virtue, like they're just living in the moment.
And the text gives three amazing examples of how fragile that makes normal life. First, there's Bill. Bill is up for this massive promotion.
Bill.
Yeah. He goes into the board interview with just a PowerPoint of his past accomplishments, no competitor research. He essentially interviews for the job he already has and gets totally blindsided and looks foolish.
Totally unprepared. And then there's Kathy. Kathy decides to level up from paved trails to a 15-mile rugged hike.
With a cheap day pack.
A cheap day pack, running shoes, no comms. She doesn't even tell anyone her route. She sprains her ankle, gets stranded overnight, and literally shivers under a bush until someone randomly finds her.
So painful. And then Mike. Mike is the Fortune 100 executive. McMansion, max out credit, hasn't updated his resume in years because he assumes the gravy train will never stop.
And then his company has an Enron moment. Bankrupt overnight, Job gone, severance avoided, and his family is looking at foreclosure.
And the chapter hits us with one specific word for all three of these scenarios. It's not stupid. It's not careless. It is simply irresponsible.
Irresponsible, because they strip the redundancies out of their own lives. But look at the responsible rewrites for these scenarios. Responsible Bill uses ChatGPT to simulate a brutal boardroom interrogation, right? He maps out his weak points beforehand.
Right, and responsible Kathy goes to a gear shop. She buys waterproof boots. She calculates that her pace will drop to 1 mile per hour on rugged terrain, so she leaves her exact route with a friend.
And responsible Mike takes half his raise and banks it. He keeps a 90-day emergency fund and takes industry contacts out to lunch to keep his network warm. So when the company collapses, Mike and his wife literally pop a bottle of wine on their porch. They have a runway.
What's like structural engineering? Mike, Kathy, and Bill built these beautiful bridges in their lives, but they just forgot to put in the support pillars. So when the wind blew, the bridges collapsed.
Exactly. But, it's easy to judge them for personal failures. The scary part is when the chaos is systemic.
Oh, for sure. The macro chaos.
Yeah, the text points out systemic fragility like COVID-19, where the damage was heavily driven by incompetence and overreaction, or our economic fragility. The national debt was $10 trillion in 2008. By 2025, it's $38 trillion, heading to $44 trillion. The system is inherently fragile.
And if those numbers feel too abstract for you listening, Jack brings it right to the front door with micro disasters. He shares this memory of a 2 a.m. evacuation from his childhood because of a chlorine spill.
Yeah, which is just like that 2023 train derailment in Palestine, Ohio.
Right, you don't have time to pack. You just grab your kids and run. Or look at extreme weather. He talks about the 2011 Arkansas ice storm. Millions of people are freezing, but because Jack had designed his lifestyle responsibly, he had a generator running, a fire going, and a turkey dinner on the table.
And the 2021 Great Texas Freeze. A 68,000-acre lake froze solid. People were helpless. Or even just medical emergencies. Jack's wife suffered from trigeminal neuralgia, which is literally known as the suicide disease because the nerve pain is so horrific.
Oh, wow, that's terrifying.
It is. She needed emergency surgery, which meant nearly 2 months of lost income while he was providing intense care.
And when you stack all that up, chemical spills, ice storms, medical crises, it feels completely overwhelming. But this is where the chapter introduces disaster commonality.
It's such a crucial concept.
Yeah, because you don't prepare for 50 different highly specific disasters. You prepare for the underlying common impacts.
Yeah.
Because a hurricane and a sudden job loss impact your life in very similar structural ways.
Right. They degrade the same basic human needs. Which brings us to the six survival needs. It's basically a wilderness survival framework, but adapted for your house.
Let's break those down. First up is food. And the tactic here isn't buying weird bunker meals, right?
Yeah, please don't.
It's called copy canning. You just buy 1 to 2 extra cans of the food you already eat every time you grocery shop. Over time, you organically build a 60 to 90 day supply. It's literal food insurance.
But food won't help if you don't have water. You need 2 to 3 gallons per person per day. And the big tip here, don't buy a massive 50-gallon drum.
Oh, because it weighs like 400 pounds once it's full.
Exactly. You can't move a 415-pound drum. Instead, use washed 2-liter soda or juice bottles. They're food grade, they resist acid, so they won't degrade easily, they stack perfectly, and you can just throw them in the trunk if you have to evacuate.
Brilliant. Third need is shelter. This means financial shelter to prevent eviction, but also physical shelter, having roof tarps. Or if you live in a wildfire zone, installing ember guards. Because it's usually the windblown embers getting into the attic that burns the house down, not a wall of fire.
Right. Oh, and you have to mention John Willis's Facebook hack for shelter and property.
Yes. Okay, this is genius. You create a private Facebook group, name it something boring like random crap. Whenever you buy valuables, you just snap a photo of the item in the receipt and upload it. Boom. Free cloud-based timestamp documentation for your insurance adjuster.
So smart. Okay, fourth is energy. A 5,500 to 7,500 watt generator is great for running window AC units or heaters. But did you know your car is basically a giant generator?
Wait, really? Just the car itself?
Yeah. You just buy a quality power inverter, hook it up, and you can run extension cords from your idling car right to your fridge, add a Blackstone griddle or a camp stove, and you can cook all your meals off-grid.
That is incredibly practical. Okay, fifth need, security. And the chapter drops a harsh reality here. 9/11 takes anywhere from 5 to 25 minutes to show up, but a violent attack takes about 3 seconds to unfold.
Yeah, 9/11 is for managing the aftermath. True security is situational awareness, like don't pump gas with your earbuds in, and have procedures at home. Do your kids know exactly what to do if the front door gets kicked open? You need protocols.
Which flows right into the final need. Health and sanitation. Have a 30 to 60 day supply of your meds. But we also have to talk about human waste.
Yeah, it's not glamorous, but if the grid goes down, municipal sewage pumps fail. You need a composting toilet plan. Buckets, a toilet seat, and feline pine or wood chips to separate the liquids and neutralize the bacteria.
Because if you look at the 2010 earthquake in Haiti, the massive death toll wasn't just from falling buildings. It was a secondary wave of cholera and diarrhea because sanitation broke down.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Having the buckets and the water bottles is only half the battle. If you panic, the gear is useless. You need a mental operating system.
Enter the MAPS formula, M-A-T-S. This is the universal framework for any crisis.
Right, so M is map the risks, terrain awareness, soberly look at your life and ask, where would a failure hurt my family the most?
Then A is assess the variables, name the constraints. Is it time, weather, supply chains? Naming the variables instantly removes the panic.
And P is perform eliminations. And I love this point. Elimination is always superior to mitigation. If you can simplify a system and completely remove a failure point, do it. Because if it's not there, it can't break.
Which leads to S's secure mitigations.
Yeah.
For the stuff you absolutely cannot eliminate, you build buffers. You create backup plans so that if things go sideways, you keep the damage contained.
Right. But you know, a lot of people push back on this. They say, well, animals prepare naturally. A squirrel buries nuts, bees store honey. Why do we need this whole complex MAPS formula?
I hear that all the time. But animals don't plan. They follow biological instincts. If it's a bad year for acorns, that squirrel can't brainstorm a mitigation strategy. It just scarves. Humans actually possess the imagination to simulate failure before it happens and plan for it.
Exactly. And MAPS applies to mundane stuff, too. Think back to Bill's boardroom presentation. If he applies MAPS, he eliminates the tech variables. Instead of a live software demo that might crash, he uses screenshots. He mitigates the format variable by having the presentation on a thumb drive and in the cloud.
He takes total control.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, let's look at the distilled takeaways. Preparedness is just responsibility. Most disasters are personal, not global.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos just exposes the weakness that was already there.
Right. And prepared people don't panic. They just execute pre-made decisions. Because redundancy is freedom of action, and you don't rise to the occasion, you fall to your level of preparation.
Which is such a powerful thought. And if you want to explore more of these practical steps and grab some free resources, you definitely need to check out jackslaws.com.
For sure. To close this out, we want to share the final three mental code rewrites exactly as they appear in the chapter. These are for you to program into your daily thinking.
Go for it.
Computer, when elimination of a variable is not possible, shift me immediately into mitigation and give me the next best move.
Computer, warn me when I'm trading long-term stability for short-term comfort.
Computer, keep my situational awareness high at all times. Look for anything out of sorts or that indicates a potential problem or opportunity.
It's such a great framework, seriously. Go explore more at jackslaws.com. And as you go through your week, I want to leave you with this thought. You wouldn't drive down the highway without an emergency brake. So where in your life, your finances, your career, your household, are you currently driving at 70 miles an hour with no backup system installed? Because eventually, something is going to make you slam on the brakes.